March 2nd, 2014. This week we are going to start from Titus chapter 1, verse 7. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that they may be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and convict those who contradict. We would like to study the definition of elders and bishops that are described here. It does not matter how those words are used in the modern church, but we want to see who they really were supposed to be in the Bible. Paul is an apostle, and he goes to Ephesus or Corinth and all other places to save people, and he could not stay in one place because he needed to spread the gospel. If he stayed in one place, people in other places would have never heard the gospel. So when Paul is gone, all the believers in those places would still gather on Sunday to hear the word of God. So it became important that they would have the elders in each town. So this is equivalent to of a pastor in the modern days, and the spiritual health of each church depends on the elders, since they are the one who teach people. We at the Remnant Church have had some inquiries in the past by those who have read the website and our teachings, and they asked me if we had a branch in their cities. But unfortunately, this is the only place, and I felt very bad about it when people wanted to hear our message. But as we read in Titus, the solution for this is to build up elders for various cities and towns. So I am all for training people, even remotely, which is possible in this modern age. We should not only think about our own existence, we have to think globally. I have always lived in a small world, but the Bible says that we have to think outside of ourselves. So this verse 7 is about the qualifications of an elder or pastor: blameless, as a steward of God, and not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable. So whenever we receive visitors, I have to be hospitable and take time for them. I cannot ignore them even if I'm busy. Mikawa-san is always good accommodating visitors at her house. Some people say there's no room for visitors, but which is fine since this is all about our spiritual attitude. For the bishop, the Greek word used is a watchman. So what does he have to watch for? From the following verses in this chapter say that his responsibility is to watch out for wrong doctrine so that it would not enter the church. If you tell the policeman that he cannot use his guns or his sticks, he cannot do his job when it's necessary. He is authorized to use those weapons, and he has the permission to exercise his authority to arrest people. Same thing with the pastors. When it is necessary, the bishops do have the spiritual authority to deal with the wrong doctrine or rebellious people, even in a way described in the Bible. So bishop is not there for a popular vote. He is there to manage the spiritual health of the house of God. Again, the verse 9 says, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and convict those who contradict. So he cannot be deceived, so that when someone is deceived, he could correct them and keep the spiritual health of the church in check. Verse 10, for there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision. This is in Paul's era when the Christianity was the most powerful, that he is still saying that they are deceivers and insubordinate people. So when we think about the modern days, There must be much more deceptions and rebellions, not only inside of the church. But when you go to a Christian bookstore, there are many books that are just fables or fictions, like a book saying that there is no hell, or books on Mother Teresa, and it is hard to find a book written with the solid biblical principles. They even have a book saying that Jesus never resurrected and he was a mere man at a Christian bookstore, and there are churches that teach that. It also says, especially the circumcised. That means in Paul's era, the Jewish people, they thought or they're more knowledgeable in God's words than others back in the days. Same in the modern times. Those who claim to be more knowledgeable in God's word tend to be the one who is spreading the wrong doctrines. The verse 10 and 11 say, "For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouth must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not, for the sake of dishonest gain." So they already are the teachers in the house of God. They get invited to the lectures and conferences to teach, and they end up destroying the faith and the house of God. So the bishop must manage what messages are spoken and what teachings are taught at his church. He cannot control other churches, but he can control his. And when he hears the wrong teaching, the Bible says their mouth must be stopped. Same thing with the seminars or newsletters. We have to always monitor the message. Verse 12, "One of them, a prophet of their own, said, 'Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons.' This testimony is true. Therefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth." So rebuking sharply is the authority of the bishop when someone's faith is out of line. It also says Jewish fables. And also in the Revelation it says, "I will cause those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie." In the Bible time, the Jews were Semite, which is the forefather of the Asiatic race. So some Jews themselves say that some modern day so-called white Jews are not the real Jews. The renowned Jewish author named Arthur Koestler said the same thing. He said the modern white Jews actually came from Khazars who converted to Judaism around 8th century, and they have nothing to do with the authentic Judaism. I don't want to dilute the Bible, so we need to note that descriptions in the Bible. In short, there are many fables and wrong teachings spreading in the church, and many originated from the Jews. I can't mention all of them, but there are many. For example, the theory of being lifted up before the Great Tribulation was spread by John Nelson Darby from Plymouth Brethren, but the theory itself originated from a Jewish rabbi. When I was 20 years old or so, I heard about a Christian pastor who had been pastoring for years, and later in his life, he went to Israel and converted to Judaism. And when I heard it first, I was shocked. Then I found out that he was a Jew to begin with, and he was teaching people as a Christian. But later I found out that he was really a Jew, believing in the Talmud. So he was like a spy sent by the Jews to the Christian community. And when they had a revival in Pensacola, I heard that there were many Jews who were active in that movement too. Billy Graham's son is pastoring in Israel, and Benny Hinn is also from Israel. And the wrong doctrines are put there with the sole purpose to sway the Christians from the sound doctrine. So we have to know the difference between the authentic Bible teaching and what is not. So I believe what we are doing here is to discern what is not biblically sound and point that one out. And it is not easy work, but someone has to do it. Verse 15. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but even their mind and conscience are defiled. So we need to stay pure without mixing up with those wrong teachings. In Greek, pure means not mixing with other elements. Also in Greek, defiled means colored or tinted like sunglasses. Then what is our conscience? I believe this is the most virtuous part in our being, our ability to think about others. But when we are mixed with something unclean, our conscience would also get defiled. Recently, I got a phone call. This person told me that there was a pastor visiting her church, and he told the congregation that we must accept homosexuality because they're born with a gender identity disorder. And therefore, this is a medical condition that they have no control over. And I was asked what I thought about it. I just responded that we must follow the Bible. And I assumed that this pastor said this because he felt bad for excluding people from the faith, but out of his conscience for marginalizing people who are born with the medical condition. But when you compromise Word of God, your conscience would be defiled, and you start believing in the wrong thing. So make sure we keep ourselves pure, and if we get defiled, we might try to do some work out of our good conscience, out of goodwill, but it will be a meaningless work in the kingdom. Verse 16. They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. When we do God's work, some people are qualified, but some are not qualified to be used by God. When you pass the test or fail the test, some people like to dispute, like some figure ice skater disputed with the result at the Olympics. But when God judges, there is no room to dispute. If you are not qualified, you may be passionate, but you still will not be used by God. And I am speaking from my own experience. As there is a vessel of honor and vessel of dishonor, God will give you assignments. But if you are disqualified, meaning failing the test in Greek, you fail the test of God. And I myself failed the test many times, but only in my 40s I started entering into this path. And things started changing. I really think that this test is much harder than the school test. And I really think entering into the path God has prepared for us is much more important than going to a famous school and passing the test at school. When I was in between churches and I didn't have any place to go, I didn't know what to do with myself on Sunday. So on Sunday, I started going out and started giving out tracts in my neighborhood, which did not produce any results, but I wanted to work. And I think God has led me through those stages all the way till now, which I am very grateful. So you don't have to worry about whether you are qualified for other people's approval or standard, but we need to be qualified for God's work. Strive to pass the test so that God will trust you with more of His work.